All right, welcome to the Sagebrush Shit Show. This is Grant again. We are starting our third episode.
So exciting. Sam Jackson here with you guys. Really looking forward to some more vigorous discussion here today. What do we got in the docket, Grant? Let's start it off here.
So as always, we give an athletic update, at least football. I don't want to even pretend.
That's what it's evolved into so far.
I don't even want to pretend like I represent the other sports here. this last weekend was hard. You know, not that we didn't know it was coming a little bit. Colorado State took us out behind the shed. It wasn't fun. I think more people than should have didn't show up in the first place, and then too many people left. Can't blame them entirely, but
I was gone by the end of the third quarter. So,
hey, yeah. I mean, at least we're not at 1-5. Positive ways to look at it.
It's very true.
Gary Anderson is now free agent coach. Maybe we'll get him back. Who knows?
Maybe
he walked away from a $12 million agreement, not taking the money. We'll see. We'll see if we get him back. I don't really want to talk much more about the game. Kind of sucked.
Hey, at least the weather was great.
The weather was excellent. No, that was.
I enjoyed the first. I got there way too early because people wanted to get there early. But let's talk about some other things. So you went to the Bob Zellner event. You want to talk about that a little bit, Grant? How did that go?
Yeah, I mentioned it last week. Bob Zellner, civil rights activist, told some really incredible stories. Going to Dr. King's workshop on civil rights, on nonviolence. He was one of the only white people in attendance. Dr. King told him that if he showed up, he would likely be arrested. He showed up anyways. Dr. King, after his sermon, told him, "You're going to be arrested. The cops have surrounded the building." He sneaks out the back door after Rosa Parks leads him down into the basement. Grabs
That's
his arm.
That's so awesome, man.
It was fantastic to listen to. Had all sorts of stories about working with SNCC, which is the Student Nonviolence Coordinating Committee, I believe is the term.
I've never heard of it.
They're a lesser-known organization, but they're actually one of the more influential early parts of the civil rights movement, as well as later on post bus boycott. Anyways, just really incredible to listen to. He talked a lot about standing together for all people's rights, whether that's immigration, whether that's LGBTQ, SAA+, whether that's some of the other underrepresented populations that are dealing with trials right now. He just talked about how it's kind of all of our responsibility to stand as one. This isn't just an African-American issue. This isn't a white issue. This is an American issue that we all need to stand up for each other.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds really awesome. I think it's so cool that, you know, it's cool and kind of scary at the same time that there are still so many of these people from that era still alive and here today. So there's the positive of we have amazing people like Bob Zellner come and talk about it, but then we also have some of the more horrible sides of the whole civil rights era who are still alive and well today in America, still voting. So keep that in mind. And along those lines, we have another awesome event coming up Thursday at the Eccles Science Learning Center at 6:30. Ibram Kendi, a notable author who wrote, I can't remember the name of the book, but he's going to be talking about how to be an anti-racist. And he's a notable civil rights activist. So please come by. It's going to be hosted by the Black Student Union. The Black Student Union is also hosting a blackout on Thursday as well. So if you are interested in that, go follow BSU on Facebook, Twitter, etc., and you can get more information about those things as well. So keep that in mind. And then we also have coming up a Meet the Candidates night, as well as the political fair, which the Government Relations Council hosts. That's going to be Wednesday, October 25th. The political fair is going to be from 11 to 2, and the Meet the Candidates night will be from 7 to 8:30. So if you've never been to either, it's a great way to get more involved politically on campus as well as in the community. We're going to be having people running for different positions on city council, as well as mayor be there. I believe Holly Danes will be there. So if you're really interested in getting to know the people that are representing you on a local level, I'd highly recommend coming by. So it's going to be an excellent time.
Awesome. And then this week is homecoming week. if you were listening to us before we finish this week out, a lot of opportunities. There's a lot going on tonight. You're not going to hear it before that. But we've got Mr. USU tomorrow, and that's Wednesday the 11th. That should be pretty good. It's always a fun, humorous experience. Absolutely. For everybody.
It's a great time.
I know your fraternity is well represented this year.
Four guys. Go Sig Ep.
We're at zero, but maybe next year.
Come out anyways.
Thursday, we have Artoberfest. That's going to be from 4 to 6:30. It's always a great opportunity. This is the year of the arts. I know I've talked to the arts senator, and she's mentioned that they're going a little bit bigger this year. It's on the quad this year instead of being over by the arts buildings. Should be a lot of fun. Good food, good music. That night, Hocus Pocus is playing on the quad. Oh, on Old Main Hill. Stand corrected. And then Friday, of course, we have a homecoming dance, Tragi Night at midnight. And then the weekend brings us into the parade and the football game, which will be going against Wyoming this year.
Yeah, sounds good. I don't know, Grant, how much do you know about Wyoming football?
You know, they are pretty good.
I know they were good last year.
They're expected to be better than us. Hopefully it's not as sad as last week, especially for homecoming.
In terms of bowl prospects, this is kind of a must-win game.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Sitting at, what are we, 3-3 right now?
We're 3-3. We need two more wins to be bowl eligible. This might not be the one.
Three more wins.
Three more?
You have to have six.
Dang it. That's depressing. But, all right. Homecoming week, get out there. There's a ton of events on Thursday. I'm not even going to go into them. I know within the College of Humanities, as well as some of the other departments, there's an insane amount of events this week. Look out. Throughout the rest of October, there's a bunch of Halloween, Poe in the Dark, different history readings, all sorts of scary events, movies. Of course, the Howl on the 27th, the largest party USU does. If you're not planning on going because you want to have a good time, consider volunteering. The 25th, there'll be a volunteer meeting for that. Just come out.
Definitely volunteer. I can speak to it. It's a lot of fun. I went to the Howl my freshman year. It was a good time. It's a crazy amount of people there. If you're not into, like, standing in lines and the whole mosh pit thing, definitely come volunteer. It's a good way to meet new people, and it's fun as well. So,
yeah, I think it's a great opportunity. We kind of get a host, everyone from around the state. A lot of people drive in from southern Utah, from Salt Lake and Provo.
I met a guy from L.A. that drove.
Yeah, I would say Arizona State. I've seen some Idaho, Wyoming, different.
Why we get that much pull for this event? I have no idea.
I'm fine with it. Cost them $25
hey,
a
know,
pop.
It's a good thing for the university.
I've made money in the past. I've made almost $100 a year at least. Some of them.
Oh, yeah.
$200 by selling tickets. I can't endorse
free
that
markets,
activity,
baby.
But, you know, capitalism.
Yeah,
go
right.
For it. Supply, demand. But let's get into some more controversial topics this week, Sam. So yesterday was celebrated as Columbus Day. This is a interesting issue. We're kind of at this time of transition. We've talked a little bit about in the past with the Confederate statues. Heroification is kind of going out the window with our generation. Columbus among those.
Absolutely.
And so I really, the question comes down to Columbus Day. I'll start us off. We tied this discussion in my history class in the last few weeks. It's an interesting idea. We had a Native American in my class who expressed the opinion of, do we even need to be talking about it? Is this just a big fluff conversation that comes up every year? Who celebrates it? How does it affect your life at all? This is something banks take a day off. It might get brought up in your kids' elementary. If anything, that's what we need to talk about, how it's being talked about in schools. Because realistically, for the average American, this day comes and goes. They don't even get work off. This isn't President's Day. This isn't MLK Day. We don't really celebrate it the same way we used to. On the flip side, one of the good arguments I've heard for getting rid of it is there's only a handful of people. President's Day celebrates Washington and Lincoln combined, as well as all of our presidents, supposedly. So that means that Columbus is one of two people, the other being Martin Luther King, that has an individual day that is celebrated on the scale. No, obviously, that's quite a conflict. I mentioned to you, Sam, earlier, my solution is call it something about world exploration. And in the schools, because as I mentioned earlier, I think that's the most important part, we talk about the good and bad of colonialism, of imperialism, of the different conquering of peoples and how that affected the growth of this nation, as well as, I think this is very important, the fact that that struggle isn't over. Native Americans are here. They're still alive and going. One of the quotes in the book we read, he mentions the tribal leader that we're speaking. You know, he says, this isn't a past. If there's one thing I want people to know about Native American history, it's that we made it through. That this wasn't, yeah, the Trail of Tears wasn't the end. That any of these horrible instances that happened weren't the end. That there's many of them that are in prominent positions in politics, in companies, and they're still, yeah, here. They're still an important culture, part of America.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely buy into the notion a little bit that I think this is all kind of trivial. I mean, you know, these holidays that we have, I mean, what do people really do on these holidays? Does anyone really celebrate Columbus Day? No. But I think what does need to happen is that we do need to bring attention to our history. And I think that the decline and hereification of some of these people is actually kind of a good thing. You know, Columbus, in my opinion, was a despicable human being. And we can talk about that kind of stuff later. But, you know, we're taught in schools that Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. So, you know, and that's
kind of... At least that's part true.
Right. So that's it's as far as we know, anyways. But, you know, it's really tough because, you know, we have to kind of decide, you know, as a society, what we want to remember and, you know, and how we want to celebrate different things. And this, it's tied into the same conversation about the whole flag issue and the kneeling, and we'll talk about that later. But I think we need to focus more on the real issues, and the real issues facing Native Americans today are, you know, reservations and business licenses and healthcare for these people. And those are the things that we should be focusing on. I think that national leaders bringing attention to kind of these small issues about how we celebrate a holiday and whatnot, I think is kind of silly. However, at the same time, I think we do need to be better educated about our country's history, the positives and negatives, and how we can move forward. So I think we are kind of, our generation especially, is kind of moving past this glorification of Columbus, and I think in 20 or 30 years, I think any celebration of him will be slim to none. So,
yeah, it's interesting, again, from the history standpoint. You know, he wasn't the first one. If we set aside the fact that obviously discovered in itself has a negative connotation, these people, right, had already been here. If, let's say, European discovery, even if we use that as our definition, Leif Erikson and Vikings had been to mainland North America before that.
Right.
Columbus never saw mainland. He was in
the Caribbean. He was looking for India. He didn't think the Americas existed.
He did bring a lot of money. He did start a lot of things. I've mentioned to you the fact that most people don't know who Amerigo Vespucci is, the one who, he didn't necessarily discover America. He kind of wrote the maps, and it was his tales that made this area named after him. There's other explorers who did other things who just fall by the wayside. Most of what we know and we've made Columbus a hero has came in the years since, which is true with most of these hero culture points. I think you bring up a good point, similar to this Confederate statue argument, tied with the flags and everything else. In Richmond, the mayor of Richmond talked about taking down the Confederate statues. His response was, sure, let's talk about it. However, it cost millions of dollars to get rid of these statues, and I have schools that are failing, and I have other things to take care of. The mayor's African-American himself. He said, I would like to see the statues come down, but that's not what I promised my constituents to do. I promised them to make Richmond better. And for the most part, things like statues, things like holidays, don't actually influence people to the degree that good education, good roads, things like that would.
And I think it's kind of a bigger problem that we have. I think these are symptoms of a bigger problem we have in the United States today, that, you know, Americans get so consumed, they get so invested in these these small, I mean, these trivial issues like statues, like flags and, you know, holidays. I mean, these things don't affect us at all on a daily basis. They, you know, it's just like winning a moral victory.
Right.
And what we need to be focusing on are issues that actually matter. And I think we can wholeheartedly agree on that. We need to focus on healthcare. How do we fix healthcare? What do we do about the tragic loss of life in mass gun violence? What do we do about these things?
Right.
And so, you know, the fact that Americans get so distracted by these things is concerning. And I'm not sure how we fix this problem, but I think we need to refocus ourselves as a nation on what really matters.
Yeah, I think we have one of these cultures right now where it's the squeaky wheel gets the grease. The news want to stay relevant. They bring all these things in. Some of them are important, and then everything else in between they make seem important. So it seems like we're just in chaos all the time.
Right.
We've mentioned in the past, realistically, most of us have good neighbors who are on both sides of the political Absolutely. Spectrum and enjoy each other's company every day.
Relatively peaceful time worldwide.
Right.
You know, we're in...
You know, you look at homicide deaths in the United States, right. They're falling. You look at the amount of deaths from international wars, they're falling. The
economy is recovering from the recession.
I can bring up tons of numbers of genocides, of starvation, and all that, and it's not that those aren't relevant,
right.
But relative to history, they're, if nothing else, a constant, if not falling. We've got the best health we've ever had. We've got the best food security we've ever had on a nation, or on a worldwide scale, at least. Of course, there's specific areas. Yes, we're having earthquakes. Yes, we're having hurricanes. Yes, we're having fires. And if there's something we can do to help that, let's do it. Realistically, right now, we're in response mode. We can politicize it. We can make it mad. Whether it was Bush, whether it's Trump, whether it was Obama, a lot of these things, the housing crisis, Columbus Day, marijuana, these things have happened across 5 or 6 Republican and Democratic presidents, and none of them have touched these issues. We try to make them party politics. They're not, you know. Whether that's, you know, Barack Obama not doing something about marijuana while he was in presidency, or whether that's Bush not doing something about something to prevent the housing crisis from happening that had started somewhat under Bill Clinton. It, you know, these people have the same interest, and that's getting reelected. And it's at some point keeping people happy. Not necessarily what's for the best this country. I don't mean to be negative, but we're making things party or partisan.
Sure.
They don't necessarily need to be. Like you said, I don't think we're talking about the real issues. Is North Korea a huge issue? Yeah, it's hotter than it's ever been. But it's still being sensationalized. It's still being fear-driven as far as what the average American is seeing about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking. I think last week we covered a great topic in, you know, the tragic, you know, mass murder of people in Las Vegas. And I think as I've said this before, as long as we have people who are having these kinds of discussions, more frequently, I think we'll be okay. But please, like we've said in the past, be aware. Take notice and take action, because the only way things get better, the only way we move forward as a society, is if we come together and reach solutions. So,
right. And just to finish out this Columbus Day, like, be open to conversation. Sam and I are both varied on our political stances, but like, this isn't much of a partisan issue again.
Right. I hope it's not anyways.
It you've been taught about Columbus wrong. You just need to accept that. From the history major in me, you've been taught wrong. It's been taught as a hero. I saw a video that was a sponsored ad on Facebook yesterday during Columbus Day that they talked about how the KKK used to oppose Columbus Day because of the Italian heritage of Columbus. And then they equated Antifa to the KKK because they also are against Columbus Day for opposite reasons. And it was just like this perfect example of fallacy being used against people. And they made it again. They just made it. Now there's a whole nother argument on who Antifa is and what they represent. But the point is this whole right, this whole conversation about Columbus, they were tying apples and oranges together and packaging them out as a whole. Just be open to it. Be open to other ideas. Be open to just teaching truth, you know?
Yeah.
That doesn't have to be biased. Let's just look at who Columbus was, and should we care? Should we be making little trinkets that get handed out in classrooms across America, you know?
Agreed.
But the other thing we want to talk about, Sam, we talked about was on this scale of things being blown out of proportion, one that can't go unnoticed is the cabinet. Trump has had an interesting relationship with both his own party and the people whom he appointed to positions. Rex Tillerson was appointed as Secretary of State, former executive of ExxonMobil. He is influential in the oil sphere. It was very controversial when he was put in. He came from a large private sector, obviously. There's worries that he would treat his position as Secretary of State as a way of influencing oil policy throughout the U.S. Yeah. You know, we're seeing EPA rollbacks right now with oil and power plant implementation. But on a separate note, there's a lot of talk that Rex Tillerson might be out by the end of the week, or at least by the end of the month, because of how he's dealing with North Korea. He's came out and made some statements about Trump. Trump has said that Tillerson's wasting his time negotiating with North Korea. It wasn't necessarily expected. Most people, if you would have asked them 3 or 4 months ago, Tillerson and Trump had a relatively similar view on globalism and how they were going to treat foreign policy. It's just one more example of a Trump pick getting thrown out because they didn't align with his specific opinions. If he had chose the right people that he wanted in the first place, it wouldn't have happened. These people were already controversially conservative. So what does that tell us?
Yeah, you know, I think if you need any more evidence that Trump is at least somewhat mentally unstable, I think you have it this week. I don't know how many people are on board with that. Hey, you know, I mean, you have someone that you've appointed. You have a Republican-controlled government on essentially every single level, and you still manage to piss off everyone. I don't understand. To have your own Secretary of State allegedly call you a moron in the Pentagon I run out of adjectives to describe it. you've completely circumvented the Republican Party when it comes to healthcare policy, when it comes to all, you know, butting heads with Bob Corker, butting heads with John McCain, butting heads with Tillerson, Priebus. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Right.
I just, you know.
And that's not even the former Paul Ryan
right.
disputes.
Yeah, it's
some of the bigger stuff so, that before the candidacy or before the win.
Right.
I mean, he was being attacked by the Republican
right.
Party.
So, I mean, Trump basically came into office with, you know, every advantage a new president needs, has control of the Senate, control of the House. You know, they went nuclear on the healthcare vote. They went nuclear on Gorsuch as well. I mean, everything fell your way, and you still haven't done anything. So right. I don't, you know, what's gonna happen? What else does he need?
I think this understand. Is a good example for people on what conservatism is, what progressivism is, and what Trump is. Trumpism isn't conservatism. I'm just the defending conservative over here who doesn't want to identify with some of the crap that's going on right now. Sure. But like I said, this has been going on for a year and a half. I'm not bringing anything new to the table. You're talking about nationalism. You're talking about other ideals and other things being brought in by Trump that are flashy and showy on the outside. Nationalism isn't anything new. You know, this has been used for a long time. It's been used by the Germans. It's been used by the French. It's been used by the Americans. We have Walt Whitman writing about the trades and the beauty of America. We have a Pledge of Allegiance. We have the state song of Utah talking about how great everything is.
Right.
It's nothing different to have pride. And that's where we get a separation. Patriotism is having pride in your country. Nationalism is thinking your country is better than everybody else by a significant margin,
right.
Not just the secret, we're a little bit better than everybody. And that's what's concerning. We talked about this a little bit before. Catalan is trying to get out. Nationalism is taking new new ways in secession movements. We had Brexit earlier. There's been comic talking of California exiting or Texit for completely opposite reasons from each other.
I've never heard that one.
Texit has been on the dock for whatever, 100 plus years.
Sure.
California.
Calexit.
It's interesting because these are literal opposites. You have an extremely conservative state and a completely progressive state, at least majority progressive, and they're both talking about leaving the union. It's not going to happen. That's not how the Constitution works. That's not how globalism works. However, Catalan, you've had major leaders come out and say, we're done. We're out. Spain has been in there kicking in doors, shutting down polling places, rioting against the people of that province.
Look up some videos on Twitter.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's crazy. It's really insane.
You have multiple politicians. This is really important because Barcelona, one of the largest economic points of Spain and or Catalonia, is in Catalonia. So you can see why Spain doesn't want it to leave. We didn't want to see a large economic exit ourselves in the 1860s.
Huge economic exit, absolutely.
It'd
be like if New York City left the United States.
Right. For them. Exactly. And that's, same thing, California, right? California could survive on its own. However,
cripple the United States if they left.
Right. I mean, just the amount of ports, the amount of finance that's coming through there. And so that's important to realize that the only people who talk about exiting are a lot of times people who are economically powerful. The United Kingdom has its own economy. It doesn't necessarily need the United Kingdom.
I mean, Scotland.
Let me correct myself. The UK doesn't necessarily need everything in the EU. However, the EU doesn't necessarily need the UK either. That's why Brexit hasn't been as bad as people thought it was going to be. Scotland's trying to now get out of the UK.
Yeah.
They have been for a while. It's kind of a resurging opinion. However, their economic status is what's probably prevented it from happening. You don't want to leave unless you can do it yourself, right? If you are dependent on the rest of the nation, you want to stay. I think it's interesting. I don't know what will come of it. We're seeing this other places as well. The Philippines right now has had a civil war going on for quite a few years. You're seeing similar things. That was a little bit more religious. You're seeing a lot of this. Again, the historian in me wants to stress, it's not necessarily new. We see these movements surge in and out. Nationalism, strong economics. Always someone figures out that they could have a better spot if not everyone else was at the table with them and stealing their resources. Whether that's Texas with oil, whether that's California with everything they've got going on, whether that's the Catalans and Barcelona, whether that's the UK. I don't know that there's anything new there.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. Nationalism plays an interesting role in every country. I like the distinction you made between patriotism and nationalism. I think vast majority of Americans are patriotic, but I would not say a vast majority are nationalist. And I think Trump's brand of nationalism, at least in my opinion, is extremely dangerous. I mean, you as a free market conservative, you know, certainly disagree with a lot of his protectionists and closed border trade policies that he's, you know, thinking about putting into place or has talked about. He's certainly not conservative. His role with the Republican Party, we can talk about a different time. But, yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, we're only, what, 7-8 months into his presidency? We still got a long way to go. So if it's,
it doesn't feel that short.
So. Yeah, it feels like it's been a couple years already. So if it's been a wild ride so far, I can't even imagine, you know, the 2018 elections coming up next year. You know, we've got a long way to go. So, and Trump hasn't changed much so far. We'll see. A lot of people thought that General Kelly was going to kind of tone him down. We've talked about that in the past. Obviously, what's happened in the last couple weeks has kind of gone against that. But you know, we'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting ride for sure. And we're all on it. We're all in it together. So
yeah,
just remember that, y'all.
I think it's important to say, I've heard it said before, regardless about how you feel of the captain of the plane, we're all on the same plane together, and nobody should want that plane to crash. Let's just get a better pilot next time. But I think
we're working on it.
I think that's it for the Sagebrush Shit Show. If you guys have anything, let us know. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook. Use the hashtag Sagebrush Shit Show. We should have profiles coming soon. Get excited. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.